Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios here on the program. And it is SEC Media Days, which I find, for the most part, to be rather pointless. You know, as far as the, hey, coach, how's the team going to be this year? Well, you know, we're working really hard. You know, Johnny Ray, the offensive line coach, he's really been working. You know, we got Bubba Johnson up from 313 pounds in the spring. He's now about 327 pounds. We're going to try to see if we can add about another 6 or 7 pounds on him. You know, stick him out there on the edge, because what we've learned in the Southeastern Conference is if you get the boring. And for the most part, the reason I find SEC Media Days to be so boring is because in years past, these guys weren't trained media professionals. They weren't afraid of, you know, rocking the boat and whatever. But now it's like nobody wants to get in trouble, so nobody says anything good. And I'm going to give Vandy football some credit. Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, they were there today. Clark Lee, no longer a joke. Vanderbilt is not a joke as we stand here today. Now, if they do what they did in 2023 and they win 2 games this season, then they'll be back to being a joke. But as of right now, Vandy football is not a joke. Just ask Alabama if Vandy football is a joke. Nick Saban went on Pat McAfee and talked about how playing at Vanderbilt's like playing, you know, is it hard to play everywhere in the SEC except for at Vanderbilt? Just saying. And then Vanderbilt beat Alabama, which was hilarious and ironic at the same time. But again, at that point in time, Vandy was a joke. Vandy's not a joke. Diego Pavia, not a joke. You can talk about his passing numbers all you want. The man beat Alabama at Vandy. The second Diego Pavia showed up, it was a different team. I mean, again, I had watched Vanderbilt get their teeth kicked in the year before, where it was 24-0 against Kentucky before you could even blink. A year later, Pavia on the road at Kentucky. Lindsay and I went to Louisville for the Jelly Roll concert because Lindsay's record label represents Jelly Roll, and we were up there in Louisville for the show. We were driving back during the show, and we were listening to the Vanderbilt-Kentucky game on the Kentucky Radio Network because I know what channel that's on, and again, you know, I would say, hey, you know, we've got the Vandy games right here on the app, but I was watching on the phone Ohio State versus Oregon, so I couldn't stream the game. I had to listen to the Vandy game on the radio so I could watch on my phone the Oregon-Ohio State game. And so as we're driving, I'm listening to the Kentucky broadcast, and new, you know, the Kentucky football broadcast, great guys, kind of hillbillies calling the game, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm listening to the game, and they're like, dadgummit, every time it's 3rd down and 7, they find a way to get 8. And just the difference between 2023 Kentucky and 2024 Kentucky showed you that Vanderbilt's not a joke. Diego Pavia is for real. That's great. At the same time, I've seen 2 tweets from Brett McMurphy. 2 hours ago, Vanderbilt's Clark Lee, quote, "We believe we have what it takes to play into January." Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, 1 hour ago, quote, "Going 7-6 last year wasn't good enough. I came back because I want to win a national championship." Can we talk about a happy medium here? I understand in order to be a success, you must believe. And I understand. When it comes to Diego Pavia, that dude believes. I mean, when Vanderbilt played Alabama, I saw Vandy score on the pick six, but then I had to go run errands because it was a Saturday and because my girlfriend was pregnant at the time. And I remember standing there, she had the craving for ice cream, at Cold Stone Creamery, starting to watch the end of the first half on my phone thinking, oh my God, this may happen. That night, I was on the air hosting a postgame show because they did it. Again, my girlfriend's Canadian. She didn't know anything about SEC football. I'm sitting here telling her, like, hey, like when Jack is 25 years old, we'll be like, hey, son, when you were born, when you were in your mom's tummy, Vanderbilt beat Alabama. That's how monumental it was. So I'm going to give Diego his due because he has made Vanderbilt not a joke. And Clark Lee looked in the mirror. Vanderbilt is not a joke. That is a real, you know, right now, everybody has to take him seriously. But let's not talk about a national championship, okay? Like, let's not talk about the college football playoff. Maybe if you want to talk about it amongst yourselves, okay? But Vanderbilt playing in January. Again, you could tell the Diego Pavia difference the second they kicked the ball off against Virginia Tech. You really could this past season. But they still went on the road and they lost to Georgia State or Georgia Southern or whichever one it was. The one that plays in Turner Field now, they lost to them. Let's wait until November. And if in November, you're number 17 in the country, and Vandy's got a shot at making it to the playoff, then let's start talking about the possibility of Vanderbilt making it to the college football playoff. Until then, let's just keep that to ourselves. I came back to school because I want to win a national championship. Good. But let's wait until we get to the national championship before we start talking about that. Vanderbilt plays on the road at Texas on Saturday, November 1st. Apparently that game will kick off at noon on either ABC or ESPN. High praise for Vandy. If Vandy can get to that Texas game on November 1st, ranked within the top 20, then we can talk about making the playoff. But in order to do that, here's who they have to go through. Charleston Southern, they should win that game at home. At Virginia Tech, I have no idea if Virginia Tech's any good or not, but last year's game went to double overtime or whatever. At number 13, South Carolina, who might have the number one quarterback in the country. Georgia State at home, they should win that. Utah State at home, they probably should win that, but Utah State's no joke. At Alabama, loss. LSU at home, loss. Missouri at home, we'll see. So Vanderbilt should probably have three losses by the time they play Texas on November 1st. If Vanderbilt can find a way to have one or two losses, then we can talk about it. But until then, let's keep the national championship talk. Let's keep the playoff talk. Let's keep that as the ace in the hole for right now. Let's be more like Indiana next year, or Indiana last year, where Indiana, nobody was talking about Indiana making the playoff, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, look at Indiana. Let's not talk about that at media days. Again, that's just me. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Jim is up next here on the program. Jim, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Jared, thank you. Love the show. I wanted to discuss this idea of Vanderbilt making it to the college football playoff. I know you're saying it's too early, but I want to hit you with this. Last year, Vanderbilt went 7-6, barely broke 500 if it weren't for a bowl game. Totally understand, lost to Georgia State. However, if you look, if Vanderbilt wins that Georgia State game, I know we're playing ifs right now, but this whole segment is a one big if game. If Vanderbilt beats Georgia State, if Vanderbilt makes the field goal in double overtime against Missouri, and if Vanderbilt had scored one more touchdown and one more touchdown in Texas against Texas, they would have beaten LSU, Georgia State, Missouri. They would be on the cusp of the playoff last year.
You mean Alabama, not LSU?
LSU, they only lost. It was 24-17. A touchdown would have tied the game.
I feel like they were never competitive in that LSU game.
Well, they only lost by one possession. So the argument I'm making is, even though they were 7-6 last year, you can make the argument a couple of plays go Vanderbilt's way last year, a couple of plays, and last year, by some stretch of the imagination, Vanderbilt could have been on the cusp of a college football playoff last year if they had three or four breaks go their way. That sounds crazy, but whenever you look at the box score and you look at the play-by-play, that's not an insane argument to make. And so I think that the playoff talk for Vanderbilt is warranted, especially whenever you look at their roster construction. You can make the argument at all of their weak points last year, except for wide receiver, they've bolstered everything. And they have one of the most electric quarterbacks in the nation returning. So I don't think it is ridiculous for Vanderbilt to say January football is the goal.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I know, again, you just brought up like four different things if this had happened in that game or if that had happened in that game. And I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, thank you for your call. At the same time, like, if this hadn't happened in the Virginia Tech game, if this hadn't happened in the Alabama game, if this hadn't happened in a lot of these games, I think you can make the argument the other side that Vanderbilt doesn't even make a bowl game. That's just how I feel. Now, I actually did just pull up the box score from the LSU game. Like, I remember watching that game and kind of getting into it for a little bit and then saying, wait a minute, this is actually kind of a ball game, and then saying, this isn't a ball game. But I'm looking at it. Vanderbilt did score a touchdown with 5 minutes and 47 seconds to go, in which made it a seven-point game. Now, they didn't get the ball back. LSU held the ball for 11 plays in 5 minutes and 47 seconds to end up kneeling the clock out. But maybe that was a closer game than I thought. They went on the road to LSU and gave them a ball game. And LSU, I'm not convinced, is very good. I mean, I'm not going to say they're bad, but I'm not. This isn't Joe Burrow's LSU. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So Greg Sankey was talking about the new rules in college football, what they call the Commission of College Sports, the NIL clearinghouse. You know, hey, we don't want Johnny's Tire Rack just paying Bubba to go to Arkansas. I mean, Bubba better be earning that money versus the NIL collectives that want to give all the players the money and build up the best teams. What Greg Sankey said, as compared to what I just don't believe. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
The clear public disagreement between the College Sports Commission and the Collective Association about what the rules seem to be. Do you have an opinion on that, or how are we going to rectify that?
Well, we from the College Sports Commission think that we're operating consistent with the settlement terms. We'll have the right kind of communication with the authors of the letter and communicate and educate on why we think we had the right perspective to begin with.
Okay, so that was Greg Sankey today, and the question was the commission versus the collective, right? So the House settlement got passed or whatever, and in the House settlement, it basically was, hey, each team has $20 million to go spend on players, and any NIL deal that is a FRCACTA NIL deal that was signed after July 1 that is not kosher will not pass the smell test. Okay? Greg Sankey sat there today and was like, well, we believe the commission is much more blah, 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 whatever. Again, saying that you know what Sankey's saying. He's going to go by the letter of the law, at least as of right now. I don't care what they say. I just will never believe that Texas and the powers that be at Texas and the money people at Texas and the oil billionaires that support that program are going to be okay with spending as much money on their football team as Vanderbilt or Mississippi State does. I just do not believe it. And I will never, ever, ever believe that. I just can't imagine that schools with money and schools with access to money. Well, we've got Jim Bob over there, and he just hit another oil refinery, and he's got $80 billion he wants to spend on the football team. But we can't do it because we're capped at $20 million. And I just can't. Can you imagine Steve Sarkisian or Kirby Smart saying, well, you need to go play for Arkansas because we can't pay you, Mr. Reggie Bush? And I don't know about this, but is anybody else convinced that everyone's going to play by the rules? Is everybody convinced that Tennessee football is going to be okay with paying their players when they have far larger boosters, when they have, let's just call what it is, a bigger money pot, I would assume, than Vanderbilt, are they going to be okay with paying the same amount? And until you can convince me that, nope, Tennessee is not going to spend a dollar more, they'll have 5,000 people lined up ready to write a check so that they can beat Vandy at football, but they won't do it. And until you can convince me of that, I'm just not sure that this house settlement or this commission or any of that means anything. And if it does, and Texas ends up with a budget that is equal to that of Vanderbilt, and Alabama has a budget that is equal to that of, pick a Power Four school that doesn't matter, Utah, then I'll admit I was wrong. And I'll say, okay, fine, makes sense. But until then, this is college sports we're talking about. First of all, I don't even think that getting in, you know, and the NCAA reviewing NIL deals, I don't even think that that is constitutional. I mean, if Johnny's Tire Market wants to give me $100,000, that's not your business. And if Johnny's Tire Market doesn't talk about the $100,000 and I don't talk about the $100,000, it's not your business to audit me about where it came from. You ain't the IRS. And neither is college football in the NCAA. So that's first thing. The second thing with all of this, again, is we're talking about college sports here. It's not as if college sports has a track record of fiscal responsibility and total transparency over the years. So I have a hard time when it comes to this house settlement stuff about, well, you know, everyone's going to play the same way. I have a hard time believing that's true. Can we get that Sankey cut again? I mean, Sankey woke up this morning, looked himself in the mirror and said, be as boring as you possibly can be, Greg. Again, this is what Sankey said about everybody playing the rules the same way.
The clear public disagreement between the College Sports Commission and the Collective Association about what the rules seem to be. Do you have an opinion on that, or how are we going to rectify that?
Well, we from the College Sports Commission think that we're operating consistent with the settlement terms. We'll have the right kind of communication with the authors of the letter, and communicate and educate on why we think we had the right perspective to begin with.
What does that even mean? You know, we'll be in communication with the right perspective of the blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. So you're telling me Texas is going to spend as much money on their football team as Vandy. Got it. Boy, I'm sure that'll go over well. Jerry Jones is going to try to buy Arkansas a running back. And, well, Jerry Jones might buy one for Vandy too. But Jerry Jones is going to try to buy Arkansas a running back. And they're going to say, no, Jerry, you can't do it. He's going to say, but I want him. I want him. You know, one thing that's pretty crazy is I do wonder, like, why Arkansas in the NIL era isn't better. They've got Walmart money and Jerry Jones. And they're not better. Then again, Vanderbilt's got Jerry Jones too, apparently, supposedly. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matthew from Jolton says, I'm not a Diego Pavia guy, but the Georgia State, Missouri, Texas, and LSU losses were all one-score games. So the way that I believe you should take one-score games in college football is not the same as the NFL. I think one-score games in the NFL, usually year to year, is probably a luck stat. So if you go 8-1 in 9 one-score games one year, you're probably not going 8-1 in one-score games the next year unless Tom Brady is your quarterback. When it comes to college football, I think that, like, I watched that Vandy LSU game. Vanderbilt wasn't going to win. I watched the Vandy Texas game. Vandy gave it all they had. They weren't going to win. Now, Vanderbilt very easily could have won the Missouri or Texas State games, and or excuse me, Georgia State games. And the Georgia State game, that was defense. That wasn't Pavia. That was defense that let them down. And Missouri, they missed a field goal. But in order to make the playoff, Vanderbilt has to win all of those games. Because they weren't going to beat South Carolina. Rocket Sanders and Lenora Sellers kicked that ass. And they weren't going to beat UT, even though UT spotted them 14 points, I think, to begin the game. I want to say Vandy returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and then UT fumbled the kickoff, and Vanderbilt was up 14. Nothing. Didn't matter. So that's why I have a hard time with that one. Eli in Smyrna says, I just became an expecting father. Mazel tov, Eli. I just became an expecting father and have been a lifelong Vanderbilt fan. Should Vanderbilt make the playoffs, should I name my child Diego or Clark? I'm not going to tell you how to name your child, because that is something that you have to live with for the rest of their lives, which we hope, knock on wood, is the rest of your life too. That said, if you were ever going to name your kid after a sports figure, wouldn't Vanderbilt making the playoff kind of be that example? You know, I'm not a tattoo guy, and I don't ever plan on getting a tattoo. And I've never said, if such and such happens, I'll get a tattoo. But I do feel like if I was a coach and we were an underdog and I could say, boys, if we win the championship, I'll get a tattoo, I could see myself doing it. And as much as I'd hate the idea of getting a tattoo, because again, I'm not a tattoo person, as much as I would hate the idea of getting a tattoo, at least I could shrug it off and say, well, you know what? We did win the national title. That's a reason to get one. So if you don't actually like the names Clark and Diego, but you want to name your kid after Vanderbilt making it to the playoff, then at least you can shrug and say, hey, the reason that we named you Clark, is because Vanderbilt's football coach when you were born was Clark Lee, and Vanderbilt made it to the playoff. And I think that's as good of a reason as any. If you're going to name it after a sports figure, you're going to name your kid. Now, if you have a girl, it's going to be kind of hard, I think, to name your girl Diego, but you can do whatever you want. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to weigh in. That 615-737-1025. So Greg Sankey got up to the podium, and he was asked all kinds of questions about 8 and 9 game seasons and things like that. Those are not the questions that I would have wanted answered. Here's what I want to know about the Southeastern Conference at Southeastern Conference Media Days. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
Rip to right. This is a no-doubter. Back it goes. Griffey is on the board, off the facade of the restaurant.
Remember, Griffey won't be 25 until November this year.
I think that ball went to November. That's up in Pop Stargell territory.
A guy with equal power, better power than maybe anyone, a man who maybe this year will become the 16th ever to hit 500 home runs, 70 last year, Mark McGwire.
Yeah, I'm a dude.
On the railroad tracks, you think McGwire can hit it there? Oh! There it goes! Back, back, back! Choo, choo!
Can I change my pick?
Oh! Mark McGwire has returned to Fenway Park!
We may run out of ball.
Wow.
Back, 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 back! Those were the good old days. The home run derby. Now, some of this might have been because I was a kid, and now I'm not a kid. And so the things that mattered to me as a kid may not matter to me as an adult, and maybe that's why the home run derby's not the same. Maybe it's because the guys aren't taking steroids as much as they used to back in the day. You know, is Mark McGwire going to hit it all the way to the railroad track? Oh, my God, he hit it to another state. Might have been aided a little bit by that. The home run derby is tonight. I believe this will be ESPN's final home run derby. unless ESPN and Major League Baseball, you know, end up getting back together. Who knows? I'm going to give the Home Run Derby a chance tonight. But I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed when I saw the field. And I would consider myself a baseball guy, certainly more than a lot of you out there. I can't name all the players like I used to when I was a kid. And again, some of that was probably me being a kid and having less to worry about and less to do. But I also think baseball had more stars. But here's the Home Run Derby field. Cal Raleigh is by far the favorite. He's the catcher for the Seattle Mariners. Dude's got 38 home runs. Again, if you were to double, and I know they've played more than 81 games, but if you were to double, this is the midway point. If you were to double it, I mean, Cal Raleigh's looking at 74 home runs. Now we're talking Barry Bonds stuff. And as a baseball fan, I root for Barry Bonds to get knocked off the record books because, quite frankly, I think Barry Bonds cheated, and it's better off when the people that have the records didn't cheat, though we don't know if these guys are cheating now. Cal Raleigh, 38 home runs. But then after that, and even Cal Raleigh's not a huge superstar. Not exactly Mike Trout, after all. James Woods of the Nationals. I don't even know who that is. Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays. Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins. Britt Rooker of the Athletics. Matt Olson of the Atlanta Braves. Now, Matt Olson is in because Ronald Acuna had a back injury, and so he's out. I would have preferred to see Acuna, who's, again, a real superstar. Jazz Chisholm of the New York Yankees, because I guess we had to have a Yankee. The guy's got 17 home runs. He's going to participate in the Home Run Derby. But I guess they just had to have a Yankee in there, so put him in there. And O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not exactly Sammy Sosa from back in the day. But I'm going to give the Home Run Derby a chance tonight. I don't know if the Home Run Derby has completely lost its luster or not. The All-Star Game has absolutely lost its luster, I think in large part because there's no National League pride versus American League pride. Back in the day, they used to never play each other. It's like you would never see Willie Mays play at Yankee Stadium outside of the World Series. Now, Willie Mays just switches teams, and he plays there even if he's in the American League or the National League. Also, they play each other during the season. They didn't used to play each other during the season, and now there's free agency. So I think that that's kind of taken a lot of luster away from the All-Star Game. The players don't care about it as much because, again, it's not National League pride. It's not Pete Rose and Dave Parker going up against Cal Ripken Jr. and Thurman Munson, you know, anymore. It's just that's just not the game anymore. So my last sliver of hope for the All-Star Weekend in baseball. It's not as bad as the basketball All-Star Game where the players would truly rather be anywhere else. But it's the Home Run Derby. And so I have to take Cal Raleigh because he's the only guy other than Matt Olson that I know. The Braves players never do well in the Home Run Derby. And Matt Olson is not a Home Run Derby kind of guy. But I'm a little worried. I'm going to give it a chance. We'll see how it goes tonight. That's going to do it for us. Everybody enjoy, whether or not you watch the Home Run Derby or not, everybody enjoy that. Newt, I believe we have an SEC Media Day special coming up next.
We do, yes, sir.
Okay, so Chase and Big Joe with the SEC Media Day special. That is up next. Again, they will be on from 2 to 3 tomorrow. From noon to 3, they'll be on. But they'll be on while we're usually on from 2 to 3. So we will be back tomorrow at 3.
Rip to right. This is a no-doubter. Back it goes. Griffey is on the board off the facade of the restaurant.
Remember, Griffey won't be 25 until November this year.
I think that ball went to November. Heads up in Pop Stargell territory.
A guy with equal power, better power than maybe anyone, a man who maybe this year will become the 16th ever to hit 500 home runs, 70 last year, Mark McGwire.
Yeah, I'm a dude.
On the railroad track, you think McGwire can hit it there? Whoa! There it goes! Back, back, back! Shoot!
choo.
Can I change my pick?
Oh! Mark McGwire has returned to Fenway Park.
We may run out of ball.
Wow. Back. Those were the good old days. The home run derby. Now, some of this might have been because I was a kid, and now I'm not a kid. And so the things that mattered to me as a kid may not matter to me as an adult, and maybe that's why the home run derby is not the same. Maybe it's because the guys aren't taking steroids as much as they used to back in the day. You know, is Mark McGwire going to hit it all the way to the railroad track? Oh, my God, he hit it to another state. Might have been aided a little bit by that. The home run derby is tonight. I believe this will be ESPN's final home run derby. Unless ESPN and Major League Baseball, you know, end up getting back together. Who knows? I'm going to give the home run derby a chance tonight. But I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed when I saw the field. And I would consider myself a baseball guy, certainly more than a lot of you out there. I can't name all the players like I used to when I was a kid. And again, some of that was probably me being a kid and having less to worry about and less to do. But I also think baseball had more stars. But here's the home run derby field. Cal Raleigh is by far the favorite. He's the catcher for the Seattle Mariners. Dude's got 38 home runs. Again, if you were to double, and I know they played more than 81 games, but if you were to double, this is the midway point. If you were to double it, I mean, Cal Raleigh's looking at 74 home runs. Now we're talking Barry Bonds stuff. And as a baseball fan, I root for Barry Bonds to get knocked off the record books. Because, quite frankly, I think Barry Bonds cheated, and it's better off when the people that have the records didn't cheat, though we don't know if these guys are cheating now. Cal Raleigh, 38 home runs. But then after that, and even Cal Raleigh's not a huge superstar. Not exactly Mike Trout, after all. James Woods of the Nationals. I don't even know who that is. Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays. Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins, Britt Rooker of the Athletics, Matt Olson of the Atlanta Braves. Now, Matt Olson is in because Ronald Acuna had a back injury, and so he's out. I would have preferred to see Acuna, who's, again, a real superstar. Jazz Chisholm of the New York Yankees, because I guess we had to have a Yankee. The guy's got 17 home runs, and he's going to participate in the home run derby, but I guess they just had to have a Yankee in there, so put him in there. And O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not exactly Sammy Sosa from back in the day. But I'm going to give the home run derby a chance tonight. I don't know if the home run derby has completely lost its luster or not. The All-Star game has absolutely lost its luster. I think in large part because there's no National League pride versus American League pride. Back in the day, they used to never play each other. It's like you would never see Willie Mays play at Yankee Stadium outside of the World Series. Now, Willie Mays just switches teams, and he plays there even if he's in the American League or the National League. Also, they play each other during the season. They didn't used to play each other during the season, and now there's free agency. So I think that that's kind of taken a lot of luster away from the All-Star game. The players don't care about it as much because, again, it's not National League pride. It's not Pete Rose and Dave Parker going up against Cal Ripken Jr. and Thurman Munson, you know, anymore. It's just, that's just not the game anymore. So my last sliver of hope for the All-Star weekend in baseball, it's not as bad as the basketball All-Star game where the players would truly rather be anywhere else. But it's the home run derby. And so I have to take Cal Raleigh because he's the only guy other than Matt Olson that I know. The Braves players never do well in the home run derby. And Matt Olson is not a home run derby kind of guy. But I'm a little worried. I'm going to give it a chance. We'll see how it goes tonight. That's going to do it for us. Everybody enjoy, whether or not you watch the home run derby or not, everybody enjoy that. Newt, I believe we have an SEC Media Day special coming up next.
We do, yes, sir.
Okay, so Chase and Big Joe with the SEC Media Day special. That is up next. Again, they will be on from 2 to 3 tomorrow. From noon to 3, they'll be on. But they'll be on while we're usually on from 2 to 3. So we will be back tomorrow at 3.